And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the hallway of our St. Gertrude the Great School, we have a statue of child Jesus. And he is there holding a sign which says, "If you love me, follow me." This is truly the ideal for every Catholic, what he must set for himself. Not merely to love our Lord, but also take his cross and follow him. There are so many sacrifices we can do in our lives to be so that we can show we do penance for our sins and want to follow our Lord. But so many times people and Catholics too, they are satisfied doing the mere and bare minimum. So in this sermon, I will seek to tell you the difference of how what is ideal for a Catholic and what is a bare minimum. We can start by reminding that today is the, as you know, is the last day of doing one's Easter duty. You learn from Catechism that all Catholics are bound to make at least one worthy Holy Communion once a year during Easter time, which in this country lasts from first Sunday of Lent until Trinity Sunday. And this obligation binds Catholics under the pain of mortal sin. Those who have not made their Easter duty, they are not anymore Catholics in good standing. So this is the bare minimum which we read from the legislation of the church. But it is very, very far away from the ideal which our Lord presents us and to all his followers. In the early times, during the first centuries of church, during the times of fierce persecutions, Catholics received the Holy Communion every single time when they attended Holy Mass. These were times of horrible persecutions, and Catholics knew that every single Mass they attend might be their last, and also every single Holy Communion they received might very well be their last. But after the persecutions ended, then little by little, Catholics lost this great ideal of being united to your Redeemer on daily basis or on frequent basis. The ideal of frequent communion or even weekly communion, it became rare, and eventually there became serious hindrances of going to communion frequently or even weekly. In order to receive every day during Mass the Holy Communion, that is, in the past times, you had to get permission from your confessor and fulfill different special conditions, and so on and so on. So that's why over 100 years ago, it was St. Pius X who restored the ancient discipline regarding the reception of regarding frequent communion, in order to function according to his motto. St. Pius X wanted to restore all things in Christ, and therefore he also restored the ancient discipline concerning frequent communion. From that time on, all you need for reception of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist is that you are in the state of grace and you have followed the proper communion fast. So now we have blessed to live in a time when there is safe and we can truly follow what is ideal and not be content to do what is the bare minimum. Truly, our Lord says to us, "If you love me, follow me." And person who wants to be a fervent and zealous follower of Jesus Christ, he cannot be contented to ask, "What is the very least I must or I am obliged to give to God?" He always seeks to give whole of himself. He wants to sacrifice everything for his Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And even though it is extremely important to follow the legislation of the church, in the end, regarding the public worship, that is the divine office, holy sacrifice of the Mass, 40 hours and so on, it really is a very and simple thing to fulfill those. The church doesn't regulate any of your private devotions, for example, grace before meal, saying the Angelus or reciting the family rosary. None of those things church locks whether you do them or not. The church regulates only when and how often you must attend her public worship. And it is actually amazing how little the church obliges you to do in regarding to public worship. Basically, all you need to do is to show up at church once a week and go to confession and communion once a year. And as long as you do that, you are considered a Catholic in good standing. But it is love which we should show towards Christ, which always should make us sacrifice more and more each day for him, and in the end be ready to give everything to Jesus Christ, not just the bare minimum or what we are obliged to do under pain of mortal sin. Love towards Christ, it makes you to seek Christ and be with him as much as possible. So can you start to see the difference between what is ideal and what is the bare minimum? It's not just the reception of Holy Eucharist when we are called to make sacrifices and to live a life of ideal Christian. Look, for example, the question about modesty. People, especially women, sometimes ask this, that is this or that piece of clothing allowed to wear or not? In other words, what I'm wearing now, can that still be considered modest? But when we ask those kind of questions, the whole of our motive is actually in quite a wrong place. If we ask, what is the bare minimum I must accomplish in order not to offend our Lord, our motive, it would not be imitate Our Lady in her modesty or purity, but to find out how much of one's body it is possible to show without committing a mortal sin. Another question besides modesty is also the modern entertainment. Sometimes people ask or wonder, is it okay to watch modern movies? Is it okay or is it sinful to listen modern music? Or is it all right to have children play computer games or let them have cell phones or smartphones and all those things? And even though all these things can be considered and they are a serious danger to child's purity, we shouldn't really even ask question from this perspective what is allowed, what we can do, but we should always please God more than anything else, and not to look whether we are allowed to do this and this or that. If the motive of is only looking in, am I allowed to please myself in this way, our motive is not to please God, but ourselves. And that would not be the motive of love anymore, but motive of selfishness. When a parent gives uncontrolled access to his children to the occasions of sin, like modern entertainment, he gambles with the innocence of the child. And purity is so necessary to the innocence of a child that the loss of purity means his complete moral collapse. Once innocence is lost in a child, the child is no longer himself and may never be again. So just like in modesty and in the modern entertainment, there is the bare minimum And then there's the ideal. Do we want to be followers of Jesus and Mary, always looking God's will and not our own? Or do we rather look our own will, what is what we can possibly do and do without committing a mortal sin? So it's really the same separation of ideal and minimum in regard to reception Holy Communion. Once a year is the absolute minimum, and as long as you fulfill your Sunday obligation, it is not a sin to go to communion only once a year. But is a person who is content to do the bare minimum, the least he can to keep himself out of boundaries of mortal sin, can he really be said to be inflamed or by love to Jesus Christ? Unfortunately, a Catholic who is content to do the bare minimum, he is in great danger of purgatory. And Catholic who is not interested of doing even the bare minimum, he is in great danger of hell. Dear faithful, a Catholic who loves and seeks to remove any obstacle standing between him and God, he is the one who has both loved our Lord and also took his cross and started to follow him. So we are called to love God and also remove any obstacle which stands between us and God Almighty. And this removal of obstacles between our selfishness and then in between loving God totally, it's really not something which is difficult to do, because we have that courage of removing and breaking obstacles all the time in our lives. Think, for example, your job, your workplace. If you would find out that there is only one obstacle hindering you of getting a big promotion and the great raise in salary, wouldn't you do everything in your power in trying to remove that obstacle? Or another example, if a boy loves a girl but finds out there's another boy also loving her, wouldn't the boy do all in his power to remove his rival so that he could be with his beloved? Because who cares if the other guy also loves the girl? If I want her, then she belongs to me, and all the rivals, they must go away from her, my path. And think also of example of political campaign. When politician campaigns for election to win an office, he usually have at least one rival who also seeks the same office. And the politician uses all the slander and all the lies to eliminate his opponent and winning that office. So truly, there is nothing too difficult or no excuse for us of not doing and using all our possible energy to reach and get the one which is most important for our salvation, namely the favor and mercy of God Almighty. So why are we so timid to eliminate any obstacle which stands in our way of loving God and following him, whether it's impurity, whether it's fear, whether it's anger, whether it's laziness? Why are we so afraid to fight for God with the at least same zeal what we use in fighting for the popularity of the world? As the sad truth that most of the people are so timid of doing that because they are perfectly content to remain on this earth and in good terms with the world, because they think they will live forever here on this earth. So many times, or even most of the times nowadays, people live like there would be no God, or like there is no God, or there is no heaven or hell or final judgment. That's why I don't believe that there will be any big persecution in our times, because there's hardly anyone left anymore to persecute. People are so much content in living well in this world that they, at least with their actions, show that they want to live in this world forever. But the sad truth is, and the truth which we know also from religion, that we will not live forever on this earth. We will live forever, all right, but not on this earth. There's only two options where we will spend our eternity. And if you know your catechism, you know what those two options are. Truly, our Lord wants to save us. He wants to make us healthy. But he does not drag us kicking and screaming to himself. So if you want God to save you and heal you, you must first love him. And you must love him more than anything else in this world, even more than your own life. And after you love him, you must follow him. And also, you need to remove any obstacle which might be in your life, which hinders you from loving him. As we should know very much from the Passion of Christ, love means same thing as sacrifice. Love doesn't mean passion, even less it means selfishness. No, as I always tell to my students, love equals sacrifice. And no one ever loved more than Jesus Christ, because he shed his blood and he went through horrible torments, all because so that we wouldn't need to be punished for our sins in eternity, but we would have everlasting life through his love, through his sacrifice. If our Lord loved and sacrificed everything for us, wouldn't we need to be ready in our lives also, at least in principle, sacrifice everything for him? So, dear faithful, today on the coming of the, or the start of the regular church year, think about, do you love God really more than anything else in your life? Are you also ready to follow him in your life, not just with your mouth or with your lips, but with your actions as well? And if you are ready to do that, you will notice in his grace that to see him in heaven, no sacrifice is too much or too difficult to do. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.